I want to just share a few thoughts I feel like the Lord's given me for us this morning. I've been thinking a little about steel. I brought a piece with me here. I don't know exactly what this steel is composed of, but I know that it's mostly iron. That's what steel is composed of. And it has it has a few other things in it too. And it has some processes to get it to the place that it is. This started out as just iron ore. And then it was worked with. And it was added to. Probably some carbon put with it. Probably some heat processes. Things like that. And it made this into the little blade that it is. And into the tool that it is. Very valuable. These little kind of tools are. And so I think about steel this morning. I think about the things that make up a Christian's life. You know, there's elements that make up everything, what they are. There's elements that make us what we are. There's elements in a piece of steel, and they're pretty predictable. As to what they are, I feel like the Lord is working with me on a little series of lessons on the elements that make up a successful Christian life. There's things that have to be in this for it to be steel. Otherwise, it won't be steel. It'll be something else. It'll be plastic or something maybe not fit for the job that this was made to do. And so... So I think about that this morning, and I want to read a little later about just a little more about steel and what it involves, the processes, the way some of it is very brittle and others real malleable. It's something you can work with, and some is softer than others, and it's all for different purposes. It depends on what you're going to use it for. If you need tool steel, or if you're going to be drilling hard substances, then you have to have a pretty hard steel. It has to be made a certain way. It has to be put under certain pressures and under certain temperatures in order to get it there. Do you know that we are a lot like that this morning? And God is wanting to work with our lives because He has for us a lot more design than we have for something like this. I'm not even positive what this came off of, but I will tell you, God knows you and I, and He knows what He has in mind for us. And He has some processes and some things that He wants to take us through, some things that He has to add to our life, and some things that He has to remove from our lives in order for us to be able to be used in the place He wants to use us. In this steel, you take iron ore, I found out just a little bit of carbon. They put a little carbon in with it. Makes it very hard. And then there's other things that have to be done. And as we know, it has to be heated to make it hardened and sometimes heated to make it a little softer, so that it's not so brittle. And so the Lord knows you and I too. And He knows our lives. And do you know that He has, and I wish every one of us could take this in to our belief in our heart. God has a place, and He has a design in mind for every one of us here. Just like the toolmaker has something in mind for every piece that he makes. He doesn't just cut out tools and, well, I don't know what that could be used for. He usually has a real design in mind. I want to look at Jeremiah 18 and verses 1 to 6 and think about what has to happen in order for us to become what God has in mind for us. Do you know that there has to be a lot of yielding? And that's maybe a good lot of the element that I want to talk about this morning that has to be in our life. In every truly successful Christian's life, there has to be a real submission to the will of God. And so many times, we as people, we want our life a certain way. We want to hold on to it. We want to guide it. We want to make sure it's the way. We want it, the outcome to be the way that we have preconceived. It's a great mistake this morning. Our greatest asset that we can have almost is that we put ourselves in God's hands and say, Lord, I just want to know one thing. I want to know your will. I want to submit to that without any. I don't want to back up on it. I don't want to fuss with you. I want you to have your way. And whatever you bring into my life, I will submit in the way that you want me to. And you know, if we can do that, then I will tell you this. This one that knows how to make the steel, this one potter that we're fixing to read about, knows how to make the clay. He knows how to form the clay this morning. In Jeremiah 18:1, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, I don't know, probably most of us here knows what that's talking about. But we watched a potter a few times. We've had that privilege to see that. And they have a big, large wheel like this a lot of times, and it's going around and around, and it's heavy. Maybe it's made of stone. And they'll pump on that thing, or they'll turn the motor on and get that thing going until it has a lot of force that's moving. It's not going to stop easily. And then they take clay, and they take this clay and they start working with it. And sometimes it's just a hard clump, and they'll put some water on it, and they'll start hitting on it, and they'll start pushing on it, and they'll start working with it and smashing it. And all kinds of things. You know, if the clay had life, it might say, what's going on here? Well, what is happening? But you know, the clay don't have life. It just bends to the hands of the potter. And if the clay is really clay and it's good clay, then the potter begins to work with it. And after a while, you'll see his hands start, the things going round and around the wheel is, and you'll see his hands begin to work it like this, and he begins to form it, and you'll see something round begin to happen. Sometimes in a little bit, and then he sticks his hand down in it and he cleans it out, and pretty soon he makes a beautiful vessel. And it's like you look at it in amazement. That's amazing to see what this potter has done. And so the Lord said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to speak to you there. And so I went down, it says in verse 3, to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know, so he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. I want to tell you this morning, if your vessel mars in the Lord's hands, just give it back to him again, because he'll make it another vessel. And it may be the same thing he was going to make before, and it may not. He'll make it another vessel. And the Lord will take that life and that clay. And this is what he was telling Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I want you to go down. I've got a lesson for you at the potter's house. Do you know this morning the Lord wants to take our lives, and he wants to mold them, and he wants to change us from the lump of clay that we are when we are given into his hands. And he has some things in mind for us. He has some design there. He has an idea in mind. Now, if we'll let him do it, folks, he will do what he does best. He will do, and he will take that clay that we give him, that life that we give him, and he will begin to make it into something beautiful in His hands. Something that that is the work of His hands. Something that is useful the way He wants it to be useful. And so it goes on to say, so He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, that's us folks, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Do you know this morning, the Lord longs to take your life and mine, every one of us. We're not talking about coming to me and asking me, what do I need to do? I will tell you what we need to do, and that's get to the Lord. We need to get to Him and submit our lives to Him. And then let Him start working in our life. Long for Him. Lord, I want You to touch my life. I want You to pound on me where I need pounded. I want You to put water on me when I need water. As this steel is, I want You to use my... I want You to put me in the furnace if I need it. Can we pray that way this morning? No, we don't just say, Lord, I long to be in the furnace. Nobody wants to be in the furnace. But I want to tell you, God wants to work with our life this morning. And if we will let Him, He won't destroy us. He'll simply make our life into something beautiful, something like He wanted it to be this morning. But I want to say this. He can only go as far as we let Him. Because He has limited Himself, though He is God, He has limited Himself to our will. And if we come to Him, and we come to Him and give ourselves to Him, but we don't let Him begin to work on us, we don't let Him begin to mold us, we hold our ground in areas, I want to tell you, He'll never be able to use us for what He had in mind. And so, unlike the metal and the clay and all of that we have, we can do with it what we want. But the Lord God limited Himself to our will. And so this morning I just want to encourage us to submit ourselves to God and not have any kind of resistance to the will of God in our life. I believe the Lord wants things to be lively. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to use all of our lives. Folks, the only thing that keeps it from it is when we don't fully give ourselves into His hand and let Him have His way. In James 4 and 6 and 7, it says, but He giveth more grace. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know this morning that what He's telling us here is be malleable in His hand? When we're proud and we're resistant, when we have our own way and we won't allow His way, that is when the Lord considers us proud. And so it goes on to tell us the answer to that: submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil that wants to work against you and I this morning. In Jeremiah, the Lord also told him, He told the people, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And this morning, I know we've heard that verse, most of us, many times. But I want to tell you something. God has an expectation for us. He has an expected end that He is wanting to use our life for. Every one of us, whatever situation we are in this morning. He's not looking for somebody, well, you know, they've got 60 years ahead of them and I'll start working on them. Every one of us, folks, God has some things in mind for you and me this morning. In Genesis 37, I want to look at a few examples of people. And God help us this morning. that we can take note from these people that went through some different things. In Genesis 37 and 23, I'll just read a little bit of it here, 23 through 27. And it came to pass when Joseph, you ever heard of Joseph? Sure, we know who Joseph was, don't we? When Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. I want to ask you this morning, how do you think Joseph felt when that happened? He had nothing left, nothing. And then he not only had nothing, but he was sold. He was put in a pit because some of his brothers wanted to kill him, and then they sold him. And then he was carried off down to Egypt as a slave. And so this morning, what could Joseph do? What was his way here? Did God have any part of this at all? Do you know this morning that Joseph just submitted himself to God in this trial? Was this the Lord that caused this? You know what? I believe the devil caused them to put him in the pit. I believe the devil caused them to sell them. That was evil. It was wicked. But do you know what? God had some things in mind for Joseph. And do you know, he wanted Joseph. He allowed all of this for a very good reason. And so this began a journey for Joseph of many years, being elevated, put in prison, and then elevated to kind of keep watch of the prison. And then we see his journey came to the point that the Lord decided that he was needed as the second in command in Egypt. Do you think that was all by accident? Or do you think that God started working way back there in Joseph's life? I will tell you, God started working way back there. And he started developing Joseph into a leader that could be firm, that could be kind, and yet just. And do you know that Joseph had to allow God to do that? He had to keep his heart from becoming hard. He had to keep hatred out of his heart. He had to submit to the things that God had allowed into his life. Joseph had to submit to that. He didn't have to submit in his heart. He could have been bitter. He could have been angry. He could have been filled with revenge. If ever I see my brothers again, I will tell you this, they're going to die for what they've done to me. You know, Joseph could have took that kind of posture, but he didn't do that, did he? And so we see somebody submitting under the hand of God's providence in their life. Now, sometimes we just think, well, I want to submit to God, but we don't want to submit to God's providence. Do you know that God knows where we're at? And He sees what He allows into our life this morning. And the Lord wants you and I to be in a place where we profit from those things. The Lord allowed this because I will tell you what He was doing. He had His hands on Joseph's life. And he was moving and he was hurting. It was hurting. That clay was being pressed. It was too much almost. And I'm sure that Joseph cried a lot of tears. I'm sure he felt deep grief in his heart, in his life. But I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't let hatred grow in his heart. Joseph allowed the work of God to develop him. Folks, if we will say within our heart, no matter what comes to me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to let Him work through those things in my life to change me into the person He wants to be. Because I don't know what God wants to do with my life. I don't know what He's got in my future, and you don't either this morning. Most of us, probably none of us. Do you know, God may reveal a few things, but He has things in mind that He hasn't revealed as well. And so all this time, here he was developing Joseph into a godly, just, kind leader. And so he worked with him. And we see all through his life how God did that. I want to think of another one, and I'm not going to read a lot of scripture with this. But I want us to think about another man. Folks, these are extreme situations, and we don't any of us have situations this extreme. I don't believe I know anybody here that does. But you know what? These people stayed true to God. And He was able to develop and use their life. I want to look at Job, the first chapter, and the 8th verse, and see how God began to work with him. It says here, and the Lord said unto Satan, this was the Lord speaking, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? He hates evil. He loves God. He's one that fears God. His life is one that there's nothing you can put your hand on him with. And do you know, he said, have you considered this one? And then what happened to Job? He lost all that he had, practically. All of his animals. He was the richest man, I believe, in the East at that time, does it not say? And we see how that God allowed. He allowed each thing to be wiped out, clear down to his children. And God allowed all of this. And here was Job in the midst. What was he going to say? What was he going to do? Is there any good out of this? Was there any good out of this? What was happening? We find in the 21st and 22nd verse what Job said. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Do you know this morning, if you can use this terminology, God took this man and made an icon of faith out of him. We all look to Job, don't we? We look to his story. Was God that interested in us that he was using Job's life? Yes, he was. He used Job's life. And all the centuries since then, he has used his life. He made for us, if you want to say it, an icon of faith. Somebody that trusted in God. Somebody that just submitted to God in all of his life. Now, folks, some of us, that submission is to trials. It is to pressure. It is to heat. And others, it is submission to the will of God. And he says, I want you to do such and such. He told Jonah, he said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach to those people and tell them that in 40 days I'm going to destroy this city if they don't repent. And Jonah didn't want to do that, and he gets a boat going the other way. That was a big mistake for Jonah, wasn't it? It's a big mistake for you and me too, when we go the other way. You know, the Lord has something in mind for us. And for Job, it wasn't useless. It was a place where Job submitted to God. But others around him didn't understand. His own wife said, Job, curse God and die. Get out of this place. Folks, Job tenaciously held on to his faith. He tenaciously hung on to God, and he submitted. He submitted his heart. He didn't get mad. He didn't get angry, and he didn't get bitter. Now, Job didn't understand. And you read those chapters, there were some places there where he said, I wish I could speak with God. I wish I could... You know what? He regretted saying some of those things later because the Lord came to him then and spoke with him directly. And he didn't have anything left to say. God was God. I want to encourage us this morning. Let God be God. Don't we know He has in mind some things for our life this morning? Don't we know that His work needs to go forward? And we see that and we long for that and it is going forward and we love that and it's beautiful when we see it. But don't we know that God wants us to be a part of that too? It comes, folks, through submission. It comes through this element in a Christian's life of submitting to God. And if we don't do that, if we don't submit to all that God has for us in our life, He could make us, but He has limited Himself. He cannot use us like He wants to. He cannot beautify our life with salvation like He wants to. The Lord can't do those things because He limited Himself to our will. So this morning I just want to encourage us that we allow the Master to do His work. I want to read another place in 2 Corinthians 12. We've heard this story many times, but I want to read it one more. 12 and 7 of 2 Corinthians. And here was Paul the Apostle, a man greatly blessed of the Lord, and the Lord was using him. But in the midst of it, God saw that this man, Paul, needed a little more. And it says here, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you know that Paul got a vision of this thing? And he said, you know what? If that's what God wants me to have, then I'm throwing my arms wide open to it. Yes, Lord, I will take pleasure in those things. Was it fun? Was it easy? Was it good on the flesh? No. But I will tell you what God did. He took Paul all the way through. And when he got down to the other end, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, He had it for him, didn't He? You know that God wants to do that for us too. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Oh, let the Master work with our life. Paul let the Master work. He let Him. He could have said, no, Lord, this is the messenger of Satan. This is not right. This is not fair. And it's not fun. He could have said that and he could have got angry and bitter as I have seen people do. But do you know what he did? He said, Lord, if that's what you want in my life, I'm going to take pleasure in all those things. I'm just going to say yes, Lord, all the way. And the Lord used his life so much. I can't think Paul did the wrong thing. The Lord allows just the right things. I thought about an American monument, Mount Rushmore. How many of us have been to Mount Rushmore? Probably half of us or more. Do you know that's an awesome thing to see up there the carvings of those faces all in that, in huge. They're huge. They're amazing. But do you know that many men worked very hard? There was one that was in charge. And I've read about it, and I was up there once or twice and tried to watch the videos they had or whatever they had there, all of that, watching, seeing what was going on. You know what they were doing? The one that knew what was going on, he took and enlarged the faces so that he knew at what point rock had to come out. He knew that the eye, for it to emerge and it to be seen, there was rock that had to come out. Not too much, just enough. And so they drilled. And they drilled. Many men did this. They drilled holes. They put dynamite, I believe it was, in these places. And just the amounts, they were professionals. And they busted out that rock until those eyes emerged. That nose emerged. And the picture, the sculpture, came to be seen. Folks, we admire that. It's beautiful work. But do you know that God wants to do that in our lives? Do you know He longs to do that? And so many times, we won't let Him. We get bitter. We get angry. We refuse it. We go the other way. We don't take God's way. We don't submit ourselves many times. And the Lord is saying, I want to sculpt something into your life. There's some things that needs to emerge. That means there's some explosions that have to go off. There's some things that has to happen in order for that to emerge. Disappointments, trouble, heartaches. We see it in Joseph. We see it in Job. We see it in David. We see it in so many. We see it in Paul the Apostle. We see it in Jesus. And do you know that we find that God, if we will let Him, He won't destroy us. He'll only make to emerge that beautiful picture of exactly what God wants in your life and mine. And we say, no, I could never do that. I could never say a word in front of anybody. You know what? Sometimes I felt kind of like that too. But I want to tell you something. We have to let God work, folks. We have to take our hands off and say, Lord, work in my life the way You want to work. I will submit and I will not be angry. I will not be bitter. I will not let my life come into retaliation to those things that You bring. Job could have retaliated on some things. Joseph could have had it in his heart, even if he couldn't have done it. He could have had it in his heart. But you know what? He had never been in the place God had for him. He had never been in that place where He saved his whole family. He had never been in that place as a ruler in Egypt, and yet still humble, because God had to take the pride out of him. He had to work on him. Folks, the Lord has to work on you and me. He has to do some things. There has to be some explosions of disappointment in our lives and some heat in our lives to bring about what has to happen for God to be able to use us, for the work of God to go on, to get us to heaven. There might be some things that He has to remove out of our lives. And I will tell you this, if we will let Him, He will do it. The if is with us this morning. I want to read one more story here, and maybe it's in Ruth 1. In verse 1. Here's a little story of a woman that went through so many things. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Pretty nice little situation. But there was a famine there, and they went so they could have food. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you, that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." You know, this poor woman endured a lot, didn't she? In her grief, she did not turn against God. We see Naomi bringing back with her Ruth. Did you know Ruth, what was it, the great-grandmother of, or the grandmother of David, was it? Her great-grandmother. And in the lineage of Christ. And we see how that God used her life because she submitted to the Lord. And we see how the Lord brought this book of Ruth to us. And we see what the Lord did in this woman's life. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? That we have this. Here was the great, great, whatever, grandmother of the Lord, Jesus. And here is the work of the hand of the Lord. So down through the centuries. But here was one, and she said, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Do you know when the hand of the Lord seems gone out against us? Folks, if we are submitted to Him, it's not against us. He is working His perfect will in our lives. I just hope we can all take courage this morning. Folks, God wants to work His will in your life and mine. Here was one that submitted to God, that was faithful. And I will tell you, we could speak for a long time about the many faithful ones, not only in the Bible, but people we have known that submitted themselves to God. And God, all the time, in all their affliction or whatever they had, He was working His will. Do you know when we truly submit to the Lord, He's working His will in you and I as well. And so, the furnace of affliction, the sculptor's hand, the pains of life, the thread of faith that follows through these people who have been successful serving God. Folks, That is a thread that runs through all the successful Christians. This morning, if we want to make it to heaven, this is the way. This is an element that we have to have in our life. We have to be submitted to God. We have to be submitted to His hand and the things that He allows into our life this morning. And when we are, He will work what He sees He wants to work. He'll prepare you and I for heaven. He'll prepare others for heaven. And so this morning, just want to encourage us with those things. Remember the scripture in Isaiah 48. My brothers told me one time that the Lord gave him this scripture. He said, "Behold," this is 48 and 10 of Isaiah, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Do you know that there is another likeness to the potter's hand, to the different ways that the Lord works with us? The furnace of affliction. Do you know, I watched Dan. I watched his life. He has been afflicted, but I want to tell you what God did through those things. I have seen the Lord work for him. I've seen him raise him from the very brink of death. I've seen him give him life and give him strength to go on day by day until this day. And you know, this morning, that furnace of affliction, I have seen the Lord deal with his children through that. He wanted his children to be saved more than anything else. I want to tell you, the best thing he did was submit to the hand of the Lord. And now you would think, will his children be bitter? He suffered a lot. He don't have bitter children. He has children that have soft hearts. He has one that was called to preach the gospel not long ago. And now he's out giving out the word of life to others. Because, folks, somewhere along the way, somebody submitted to God. I want to encourage us today. Whatever the Lord is dealing with you and me in our lives, whatever He allows in our lives, let's don't take our way of bitterness and revenge and all of those things. Let's don't take our way of standing up for ourselves in a carnal way. Let's don't do those things. Let's ask God, what is your way, Lord? Where are you in this? And that's where I want to be. Folks, I want to tell you something. We'll find heaven one day if we will allow God to do that. I want to read another scripture in 1 Peter 1, a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter 1 and 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Do you know this morning that it is speaking of a likeness to being in a furnace? The gold is put in a furnace. It's put under pressure and heat, and that purifies it, doesn't it? And it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that. I want to tell you some of the things. And the Lord works with all of us differently, in different ways. He has a different outcome. Not spiritually, but He has a different gift for each one of us. And He's trying to refine us. Do you know some of the things that the heat removes from you and me? We don't like this, I know. But I will tell you, gold and silver is much more valuable after it's been through the furnace. Your life and mine is a lot more valuable too. I want to speak to some of the younger ones this morning that has experienced disappointments at different times, a number of us. You know what? If we will allow God, keep true in our faith, keep true to our honing in on His will and His thoughts. Lord, I want to know what Your will is in my life. I want to do it. I want to be faithful. I want my spirit to be right. Do you know that He will begin to refine our life as well? And the things that we face many times are the things that make us this morning. I was thinking about a humble people. Do you know that sometimes we need the air knocked out of us? Is this true? Sometimes we become a little too puffy, don't we? And the Lord knows just what we need to make us humble. He knows just what I need, the song says. How is it to walk this narrow way? He knows how to keep me humble and how to make me pray. Do you know this morning the Lord knows those things? And He knows what we need. He knows how to make us humble. We in our pride, we in our resistance to things, whatever. We just want it our way. We want it, folks, God wants a humble people. He wants a people that knows how to call upon Him, to pray, to trust Him. He wants a praying people. Do you know He's going to work on your life and mine, and He's going to put us in the furnace and teach us to pray? Maybe we don't feel like we know how to pray. I want to tell you something. Then don't resist the furnace. Because in the furnace, you will know how to pray. And that will teach us some things, won't it? Don't resist God's hand. He wants a praying people. He wants a people that knows how to get a hold of God. And folks, in the furnace, we find out those things. When the waters go over our soul, when the waters are over our head, it don't take long to figure out how to look up and cry to God. Jonah figured it out pretty fast, didn't he? You know, we're like that this morning. And the Lord wants to create in us a people that can reach Him. He wants to create in us a people that can be moved by His Spirit. And so, He has to work with us and on us. He wants to make a people. And maybe some of these things, I don't know what all the Lord will give me. But maybe in this little series on elements that make up a Christian's life, He wants to make us into givers. Did you know that? We're not givers on our own. We're takers. We're selfish. Look at little children. How many little children do you just see naturally not saying mine? You know what? They have to be taught, don't they? We have to be taught too. But you know that's where the blessing of life is? A giver. Our whole life becoming a life of giving. That our life is a pouring out to other people. Is that just for a minister? I don't think so. It's too much blessing for it just to be for a minister. Folks, it's a blessing God wants to give to all of us today. And so He wants to teach us a life of giving. And so, how do you take the selfishness out of a child? Do you give them everything they want? No, you withhold. You teach them to share. You teach them to do without. And pretty soon they start understanding that's the way of life. In fact, it's a good way to do those things. You know, the Lord works with you and me the same way. And we want all of it to channel right down into our little bottleneck. And the Lord wants it to be going the other way. Out of the bottleneck and out to everyone else. And He said He would be in us a well of water flowing through our belly to other people. That's not exact. But the Lord wants to change that for us. He wants us to have great desires for the things of God instead of the things of the world. Do you know the Lord has to allow for you and me to be disappointed sometimes, many times, in order for these desires to be whetted? And so He does that, not out of anger, not out of meanness, not out of judgment. Many times the Lord allows things into our life because He is at work. The Master is at work. God help us this morning. A life of sacrifice. Do you know that that's what God breathes upon? That's what God sees? That's what He sees the sacrifice of our heart and our life. And He anoints that. And He wants to teach us how to sacrifice. And many times He has to kind of put a bombshell, a little piece of dynamite in the middle of our safety net, in the middle of everything we have. And then we learn these valuable lessons, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. These lessons are precious, folks. They make people's lives valuable. They change people's lives from what they were to what God wants them to be. And that's a beautiful thing this morning. I won't be much longer, but I want to say just a few other things. Suffering. Suffering is an element of a Christian's life. And that is something that we shrink from. We don't want to suffer. We don't see any good in suffering. But I want to tell you something. If the hard, rough edges are going to come off, many times it's going to be through suffering and no other way. And many times the Lord is looking to get us to heaven, and He knows to get us to heaven there has to be some suffering. The Scripture says even Jesus learned obedience through the things which He suffered. And so this morning, the Lord help us, each one, that we allow the Lord to put the elements into our life. I want to read a little bit now just about steel before we dismiss. Depending on the temperature and composition of the steel, it can be hardened or softened. To make steel harder, it must be heated to very high temperatures. The final result of exactly how hard the steel becomes depends on the amount of carbon present in the metal. Only steel that is high in carbon can be hardened and tempered. If a metal does not contain the necessary quantity of carbon, then its crystalline structure cannot be broken, and therefore the physical makeup of the steel cannot be altered. Frequently, the term hardening is associated with tempered steel. Both processes are used hand in hand when hardening steel. The two-part process begins with hardening the steel so that it becomes tough and does not wear over time. However, very often this process leaves the steel very brittle and susceptible to breaking during use. Tempering reduces the hardness of the forged steel very slightly, but improves the overall product as it results in steel that is less brittle. You know, this morning, these ways that we have of working with metal, with clay, with different things, God uses some pretty similar things with us. He puts us in the fire. And I was reading about steel and how it's made. The temperatures are exact at when things happen. When things get hard enough, it's 400 and so many degrees or whatever it is. You can read about that. And then it becomes hard, but it becomes brittle sometimes. And so they have to bring that temperature back up again to 400 and maybe 40 degrees or something, whatever it was. And they bring that temperature up again, and that softens it just enough to make it so it's hard but not brittle. Do you know, this morning, our life is like that. If we will let the Lord, if we will let Him, He will make us into what He wants us to be. Maybe it's a piece of steel that holds weight, a lot of weight. You know, that's a different kind of steel than something that you drill holes with. Because what you drill holes with, as I understand it, will be a little too brittle to make a long beam that's heavy and strong and carries a lot of weight. The Lord knows what He wants to make you and me into. He knows what He has in mind for us and for our life. And if we will allow Him, if we will allow Him, if we will throw open our arms to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, please work in my life in any way you want. Bring the things, Lord, bring the things that you see I need. Work in my life and in my heart." Because there's weight that has to be borne, folks. There's tools that the Lord needs. Hard enough to face the hard things and soft enough to not fly apart. Do you know, this morning, the Lord is looking for that in us. He wants to make us into a tool of His fitting, of His working. He's the master. He knows what it takes. And He's looking at our life And if we will long for it, if we will ask for it, if we will allow it, He will do that in our life too. And I don't know what the end of that is, but I believe it's good. You pray for me too.